Shalom, this is Billy Brim coming to you from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks when we are talking and studying the importance of Jerusalem in the light of Bible prophecy and in the heart of God. Remember, Jesus said that it would come back into the hands of the Jews, and this is that 40th anniversary month, according to the Gregorian calendar, of when it did come back. It is the touchstone of Bible prophecy. We're studying it in the light of the Bible and what God sees about it. Its first name in the Bible, it's first called by God, HaMakom, the place. You'll see that as we read today. I want to give you all Hebrew words come from roots. And the root of this is kum, which means rise or stand. Can you hear makom, kom, kum? Can you hear that kom, kum? How they sound alike? Vowel sounds change, but you just use the same consonants. And the root word is kum, which means arise or stand. Makom is a standing place, a place for you to stand. Hamakom is the standing place, the place. The Bible calls Jerusalem the place. Hamakom. That's one of the names that the Jews know it by. They call it Hamakom, the place. It is the place where God chose to put his name there. Now, we studied yesterday, and if you want to catch up on our studies, all you have to do is order the tape set or the CDs. You can get it on cassette tape or CDs for $10 that we taught in eschatology on all of this subject. You'll get it really well. I'll tell you at the end of the program how to get it. Hamakom. Now, this is Jacob. We talked about how it was the place. It was Hamakom, the place where Abraham offered up Isaac. Now we're going to Jacob. Remember that Abraham had Isaac for a son and Isaac had Jacob. Now here it is, Jacob. And this is in the 28th chapter of Genesis. Reading in the King James, it says, "And Jacob went from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place." Now I'm going to read you that in the translation from the Hebrew. This is the stone translation of the Chumash. "Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He encountered the place." He encountered Hamakom. That's how the Jews know that he is at Jerusalem. We miss that just in reading English. "He encountered Hamakom, the place, and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took from the stones of Hamakom, the place, which he arranged around his head and lay down in Hamakom, the place. And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set earthward, and its top reached heavenward. And behold, angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, Hashem," that's how the Jews write it when it says Jehovah, "was standing over him. And he said, I am Jehovah, God of Abraham your father, and God of Yitzhak Isaac, the ground upon which you are lying. To you I will give it, and to your descendants. Your offspring shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out powerfully westward, eastward, northward, and southward. And all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you and by your offspring. Behold, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will return you to this soil. I will not forsake you until I will have done what I have spoken to you about." Joseph awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely Hashem is present in this place, and I did not know." And he became frightened and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the abode of God, and this is the gate of the heavens." Jerusalem is seen as the Jews as the gate. Jerusalem, earthly Jerusalem, as the gate into heavenly Jerusalem. And we see that too. We're going to be talking about this more next week and maybe even the week after, how that heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem is connected. And that as Jacob lay there, he saw this is the gate of heaven. This is the place. Now notice what God said in that place. It always is something to be. God isn't sitting on a throne. It's as if he got up off his throne, walked over there and looked down that ladder to Jacob and said, here it is to you in English, and behold, the Lord stood above it, verse 13, and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. It is given to the Jews through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the Temple Mount. Today there's a dome of a rock over it. But this is God's will, and this is why, folks, you're going to see that Jerusalem is the touchstone. God said, you nations, you better not bother yourself with Jerusalem. He who does will cut himself to pieces on it. Condoleezza Rice, State Department. I don't care if we have a Republican president or a Democratic president. State Department, you'd better take note. You shall not, I say this by my own desire and I say this by my prophecy, you shall not cause this nation to come under the judgment of God for dividing the city, the ancient city of Jerusalem. And folks, when they tell you they want a Palestinian state, all of old Jerusalem is in what they would include in the Palestinian state. Folks, this can get you in trouble. We're talking about seeing Jerusalem as God sees it. Now I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12. And I think before we go there, I'll speak a little bit about Jacob. Sometimes in the Bible prophecies, God will call the Jews Jacob. Why? Because the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The patriarch Abraham had another son by Hagar. That other son was Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of many of the Arab nations. So he had other sons. Isaac had another son. He had two sons. He had Jacob or Yaakov, and he had Esau. Esau became the son, the father of the Edomites. But Jacob had no other sons that are not included in the house of the Jews. So when God says to Jacob, I give you this land here on this Temple Mount, there's no room for an interpretation. Ah, Jacob had another son. No, he didn't. All of his sons were the 12 fathers of the tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. And so when you see that Jacob referred to in the Bible, the Jews referred to as Jacob, it's the flesh Jews, and God says, this is your land. I give it to you. Hamakom. And Jacob called it the gateway to heaven. Now, you know the story of the Jews. You know that they went into captivity down there in Egypt. You know that God brought them out of captivity. And when he brought them out of captivity, they could have just gone straight over into the promised land. But they were disobedient, and that generation had to die away in the desert. And only those who were raised up eating the manna every day and watching God, they were a whole new peoples, really. They went into the promised land under Joshua. Of course, Moses had been alive and been with them all those 40 years that they were in the wilderness. But it's getting time now for them to go. Remember 40, the number of testing. So it's time now that first generation, they died off. And now we've only got the people, the young men who were 20 years old and younger, and they've grown older. The oldest ones among them can be 40, except for Joshua and Caleb, of course. But they're going to go into the promised land. But Moses doesn't get to go. You remember Moses, how God took him and he let him look over and see into that land that was promised to the Jews. But he couldn't go into the promised land because he had struck the rock. I really like what Rabbi Rishkin said about it. Rabbi Rishkin says, it seems harsh, but they had lived in the miraculous those 40 years. They had had miracle food every day. They had had their clothes didn't wear out. And Moses had this rod. It was a miraculous rod. It's one that God had given to him there when he called him at the bush. And he said, you've got this rod, and the rod, all kinds of things happened with that rod. And he'd always struck the rock, and the water had come out. But now when he's getting ready to go into the promised land, God tells Moses, you speak to the rock. Rabbi Rishkin says that the reason the judgment was so harsh on Moses, and we do know that Joshua and Caleb got to go in the land, that the reason the judgment was so hard on Moses was because he was ready to represent God, to exemplify, to demonstrate. He was ready to demonstrate to the children of Israel, you don't have to have this rod anymore. You're going to use the power of speech. Speech. You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth. The only one, Rabbi Rishkin said, that had the merit to do it at that time, to demonstrate it to the Jews, was Moses. He was the only one who could have done it. He had come to that place where he could believe a thing in his heart and say it with his mouth, and he could speak to that rock, and the water would flow out. He did not do it. He became angry and struck that rock. And so, that was it. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. People think that Kenneth E. Hagin made up, if you speak something, you have it. No, he did not. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This is an ancient principle. Man was made a speaking spirit. What makes man different than everybody else is his ability to speak. And that's what God wanted Moses to demonstrate, the power of the spoken word. He failed and did not go into the promised land. Now, when they went into the promised land, before they went into the promised land, he gave them some instructions. We're going to go into these instructions tomorrow, and they are so important in our study of Jerusalem. I do want you to have all this week's tape, this teaching, but it's not just going to be these radio tapes. It's going to be when I taught it in an eschatology school and really had the opportunity to go into everything and lift up every stone and look under it and see why is this Jerusalem so important. And so we've made it available. You can get it on, I think, 2 cassettes or 3 or 4 CDs. Whichever you get, cassette or CD, the price will be $10. You can get that by writing to us, and I do hope you can enclose an offering for radio. Billy Brim Ministries, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Box 40, 65615, or telephone us at 1-800-972-3447 and order HaMakom. HaMakom. HaMakom, the place. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. And this is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom. Until then.